And on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain's sitting on the couch with me again, and I just cannot figure out how gay men hook up. It's just in a look, and how they do it, it just absolutely baffles me. So we discuss that. We also discuss the magic of the holidays as seen through Mitchell's eyes. Plus, did you know? Women golfers. Who's talking about it? Me? Mitchell? Who's getting the real, you know, turn on over it? Me? Mitchell? Maybe you think they know the answer. I don't think you do. And Richard Knight Jr. takes us to the movie review of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It's getting a lot of press and a lot of nominations during this awards season, but what did he think of the film? Plus news and more that you've come to expect, all continuing in 2009 here on Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 277. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And you're Mitchell Fain.
That's my broadcaster voice.
Exactly. We are days away from Gays Got Talent.
I know. It's going to be fun.
Do you think gays have more talent?
Well, duh.
Because they mostly win all these awards shows that are like day. Reality shows, right?
They often do, especially things that have to do with like design or stuff like that.
Hair.
Why do you think that is? I mean, that's an actually...
Singing,
that's actually
dancing.
An interesting question.
Ooh. Because we're more expressive, creative. We've delved deep into our...
But do you think it will disappear as we assimilate more and more and more and more and more? I mean, you know, like, I think
know.
Part of the reason why gay people have always been sort of artists, especially visual artists, is that when you're pushed, when you feel like you're on the outside, you spend your whole life standing on the outside looking in at the culture. And therefore you get a perspective on it that you can then draw on to make...
No pun intended.
Yes, to make art. But, you know, observation... But that you wouldn't get if you were like in the midst of it. But oftentimes as gay people, we feel a little bit on the outside. As we get closer and closer to the inside, will we lose that?
I don't know. It's a really good point.
Or is this some weird genetic thing that comes with the gay gene?
I think that.
If you believe there is a gay gene.
Well, I think there's potential for gay gene, and then there's the purchase of designer genes. Are you looking at Naked Man on the television?
Yeah, but is that Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, I don't think
shit.
So.
We should turn on television because if Jake Gyllenhaal's naked, I might be able to talk.
All right, I'll turn it off just so you don't have to watch.
Because we do love the Jake Gyllenhaal, don't we?
We do love the Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, he loves us too.
I just got finished. He's a very pretty boy.
He is pretty.
Just got finished watching The Zodiac, which is really an intense
I haven't seen it. I can't wait to see
movie.
It.
Intense movie. I've kind of got my... if anybody knows, I mean, of course, I used to talk all the time about my TiVo, and now Netflix has teamed up with TiVo, if you have high-definition TiVo, which I just set this up today where I can get, like, instant movies. Not all of them.
Right, but whatever's
but just
available.
Instant movies. So I'm going to watch Pan's Labyrinth, which is I have never seen.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So not my kind of movie, but I loved it. I'm excited to hear what Richard thinks about Benjamin Button.
Yes, that's going to be in our show today.
Yeah, his
review
the show.
Of Benjamin Button. He has seen it many times, I will tell you. He's seen it multiple times.
Because that's what I saw on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. What did you think?
Should I say or should I?
No, I'd love for your opinion, too. You'll be a layman's opinion.
I thought
opinion.
It was gorgeously filmed.
Yep.
I thought it was...
it's filmed in New Orleans.
I thought the CGI is extraordinary. Maybe a milestone in...
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's extraordinary. I thought the performances were beautiful, and I thought that it left me ice cold.
Really?
I felt it was a long, long ass movie.
How long?
Like 2:45.
Okay.
Like a long ass movie. And if you're going to make me sit there for 2 hours and 45 minutes, I better have a fucking catharsis.
Yeah.
I mean, I need...
Is it funny?
I didn't really laugh. I didn't really cry. Mm. I was always...
It was not better than Cats.
It was not better than Cats. I was always, not always, I was engaged 70% of the time. Mm-hmm. There's a framing device in which she's an old lady, blah, 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 that if they had cut, the movie would have been 45 minutes shorter. Mm. I don't know how they would have done it, but I don't know. It left me cold, and I think it has to do with, for me, it has to do with the fact that we know from the get-go that it can't possibly work out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers, people, but everybody knows what this movie's about by this point. He grows in opposite, he
right.
ages in the opposite way. So we know going into it that, mm-hmm. you know, so there's no, it's like the Titanic, you know, the Titanic was cheesy and overblown, blah, blah, blah. But at the end, it was like, will they make it? Will they be together? Oh, no! And then you have this catharsis and you lose it.
Yeah.
So you don't know. This movie, it's like by the time you get there, you've already had your catharsis.
Mm.
Because you know, so it left me cold. Beautiful to look at. I mean, extraordinary to look at. Many Oscars, we'll get many Oscar nominations for technical things. And Brad Pitt is quite beautiful in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his acting. And mm-hmm. of course, the great Kate is amazing. Tilda Swinton sort of steals it in a small part.
Mm. It's my girlfriend's doppelganger.
And the woman who plays Benjamin's mother or mm-hmm. adopted mother. Is amazing. The acting's beautiful. It's just, it left me cold, and I thought for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Mm.
I can't say I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it would be hard to recommend to somebody.
Did you have a warm, fuzzy moment this holiday season around anything? Do you love the holidays? I mean, I know you're Jewish.
I do love the holidays. Still... And part of the reason why I love the holidays, being Jewish, is that I let the holidays every year be exactly what they are that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year, I wasn't going to go anywhere because I was doing Sandaland Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends, who I usually spend it with, were both out of town. One of them is in Dubai and the other one's in Massachusetts.
Connect kind of the time between Christmas Eve, Christmas, and New Year's? I mean, do you have traditions for New Year's?
I don't have tradition. I don't have that. Like,
Did you do something this year for New Year's
Eve? I did, actually. The cast of a chunk of the cast of the people I went to Europe with this summer with
uh-huh.
Second City, we had like a reunion.
Oh, nice.
We went out to dinner in Lincoln Square, and then we went to a little house party, and we just hung out and smoked weed and, you know.
How
should
that?
I not say that? you know, drank scotch and, you know, and I was home by like 1:30. It was really grown up and lovely. And
yeah.
Had a really, and then New Year's Day, of course, I woke, rolled out of bed and came downstairs to your
yeah.
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful brunch that you always have, which is so fun because you get to meet so many interesting people or, you know, oftentimes I actually see people that I haven't seen
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're not sort of part of my circle.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see them down, oh, like
mm-hmm.
your friends Amy and Michael who came.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to a show, which was so mm-hmm. lovely. But anyway, so that was lovely. And
yeah, I had friends showing up saying, is Mitchell going to be here? Who
oh.
had already seen Sandaland Diaries.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And, you know,
but,
looking for you.
Christmas Eve, I had a fabulous Christmas Eve this year. Like, as I'm saying, I sort of improvised my holidays. I ended up spending with my friend Jordan, who you have to have on your show at some point because
okay.
he's a comic genius.
Great.
Ask Alex about Jordan.
All right.
She'll tell you that he's the funniest person that any of us know.
Okay. Well, then I need him on.
Yeah,
God
you
knows
do.
You and I are.
I know. Fuck that shit. anyway, so we had this magic, magic, magic night. And a couple of nights before that, I had a magic night with my friend Eric and Christmas Day.
Now, what's a magic night for you? Because it's
like,
not sex.
No. No, I mean, that can be, but these are friends, so it's not a sexual thing. Just, like, really connecting with somebody you love and having...
Were you having drinks? Did you go to a bar? Did you have dinner?
Hung at my house, and I made a nice, like, put out a little tray of, like, picky foods, cheeses and sausages and, you know, like,
Picky foods.
Picky is what my godmother used to call them. Pickies. Uh-huh. I put out a plate of pickies, and that's so funny. It's so funny. I don't have any other word for it. I don't know what else you would call it because it's what my godmother called it.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we had some cocktails, and we just, I guess, just the opportunity to connect with somebody that you love very much when sometimes it gets too busy and you don't have time to stop and connect.
Yeah.
And I took the time, and we did, and it was beautiful. And Christmas Day, I went to the movie with somebody that I like.
But he's, are you crushing?
I am crushing. But this is a whole other discussion.
He is hesitating. Uh-oh. I want to hear this whole discussion. All right.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing because he, if there's an emotionally, like, withholding but very cute guy in a 100,000-mile radius, that's my guy.
I got to pick on him.
Oh, Lord. I think he's so cute and I know that he likes me, but he's so evasive and, like, emotionally evasive. And so it's like, I got to stop it with these waspy boys who don't have any feelings.
Ooh, we're coming back to that. We're going to go to the news. We'll be back with the waspy feelings that dare not speak their name after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Two men and two teens have been arrested on suspicion of gang raping a woman last month in the San Francisco Bay Area while reportedly taunting her for being a lesbian. Authorities have said that the four males, aged 31, 21, 16, and 15, allegedly attacked the 28-year-old victim on December 13th while she got out of her car, which had a Rainbow Pride sticker. Officials have called the attack a hate crime.
The Reverend Rick Warren, the evangelical minister who will deliver the invocation at Barack Obama's inauguration, and who is under fire from gay rights activists for opposing same-sex marriage, recently said that he loves Muslims, people of other religion, and gays and straights. He also told his church congregation that you don't have to see eye to eye to walk hand in hand.
In Nevada, gambling regulators have filed a complaint against Las Vegas gay night spot Snick's Place and licensee Dominic Vitale, alleging that several patrons engaged in sex acts in public areas of the bar. The complaint lists seven counts, each punishable by a fine of up to $100,000. Also, the club's slot machine license could be revoked.
In California, the attorneys for 14-year-old murder suspect Brandon McInerney want a judge to allow them access to files involving the prosecution of underage individuals as adults. McInerney stands accused of shooting and killing classmate Lawrence King, who reportedly was gay.
In Spain, Judge Fernando Ferran Calamita has been suspended for 2 years for attempting to stop a lesbian from adopting her partner's child. The court also ordered Ferran to pay the woman $8,400. The judge said that she will appeal the ruling.
The readers of Britain's Gay Times no longer are in love with the soccer star David Beckham. They voted English rugby fave Ben Cohen as the sports personality of the year. Torchwood actor John Barrowman was voted Sexiest Man of the Year, James Dean, all-time male gay icon, and Kylie Minogue as all-time female gay icon, topping Madonna and Judy Garland.
Wow. Howard K. Stern, the former attorney of the late Anna Nicole Smith, has apparently filed a $60 million lawsuit against news personality Rita Cosby, alleging defamation because she said that Stern and Smith's lover, Larry Birkhead, had a same-sex affair. However, Cosby claimed that the allegation is definitely not defamatory. Quote, engaging in a homosexual tryst, even if videotaped, does not reflect poorly on someone, and in the 21st century, it most certainly is not a criminal lewd act, said Cosby, who made the allegation in her book about Smith called Blonde Ambition.
Openly gay British talk show host Graham Norton is planning to give the annual Eurovision Song Contest a more risque feel. Norton, whose TV shows involve nudity and blue humor, said that the show goes on quite late, so I plan to do some jokes. The most notable winning Eurovision artist was ABBA, who won the contest for Sweden in 1974 with the song Waterloo.
And speaking of ABBA, Mamma Mia has broken a record in the United Kingdom. 25% of all British households own a copy of the DVD, making it the biggest selling film there ever.
Ever?
Ever.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Baby, as always been.
So what's the deal? Like, you don't want to go out with Jewish boys, good Jewish boys?
You know what, Amy? I have never, ever been... I've been attracted to many Jewish men. It's not... I mean, I'm a Jewish man. Jewish men are not attracted to me.
Really?
Mm-mm.
So, but the waspy, evasive...
Oh, my God.
Can't commit.
Can't commit. Or
evasive.
Just, like, emotionally distant. I don't know why. If they're... I don't know why, like, this...
This is like you and Steven Rader. This is exactly it. If, see?
Like, I know
you have a love affair for at least a year over the podcast.
I know.
I can't get you both in the same room.
I know.
We were all three going to go see Where the World Mine, and then you weren't able to go to the movie.
I backed out because I was so tired.
And then Steven didn't get to come to the brunch, or he would have been here. I believe you all are LaToya and Michael. You're the same person in a different mask.
He did come to my show, and it was brilliant because he sat all the way in the back, literally the back row, center.
I don't believe you.
And so I didn't know he was there.
I don't believe
until
you.
What? Until I heard him laugh.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And you can't miss you can't miss the Steven Rader laugh.
Yeah.
But it's just this guy's really nice, and we've known each other for a bit, and then it sort of took this little bit of a romantic turn. And
what does that mean? You made out with him? You kissed him? You touched his nethers. What happened?
No. It was more like the time we spent together got sort of romantic. Suddenly it was like...
Okay, you know what I don't understand about guys is that you guys can like be in a room and you'll look at each other and you'll just both know like y'all are going to go home tonight and have sex.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Or, you know, I don't know. Like, I see stuff happen with gay guys where I'm just like, the hell did that happen?
Are you asking me if this guy and I had sex?
No, but you want to tell me if you did?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, good. so he's not that evasive. But I mean, it's seriously
no,
like...
No, but that's the difference. That's what you're talking about, because boys can compartmentalize, right?
Mm.
Sex and romance.
Okay.
So the sex...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm capable of it too, but I think he's a lot better at it than I am. I don't know. I just don't know where I stand. It reminds me of... And I'm so not in love with him, so this is an exaggeration as far as using this quote.
I know, but when you fall, you fall.
Yeah, I do. But I'm so not in love with him. I mean, I just like him, and I think it could be fun. And I think he's into me, too, but it reminds me of a Joni Mitchell line where she says, picked up a pencil to write I love you in my finest hand. I wanted to send it, but I don't know where I stand.
Mm.
So right now, I just don't know where I stand. I'm not in love with him. That's
yes,
that quote is an exaggeration, but I don't know where I stand.
Yeah, I gotcha. I still want to know how... gay men do that, like look across the room and they just look at each other, and then I've been with them before and they like walk out the door and I'm like, they're going to have sex within 45 minutes.
Know.
It is going to
we
happen.
We compartmentalize.
How is that possible? But how do you both just know? Like, is it a wink? Is it like a,
I don't know,
there's a high sign? It's like a fraternity thing.
It happened. There was this really cute guy, and a gay man will understand this. I was taking the Clark Street bus home.
Yes, this is what I mean, like this kind of shit.
We live right off Clark Street, so I was on the bus last night, and I get on the bus
last night.
That's not after my show. No.
Oh, okay.
I got on the bus and I sat down, and there was this really cute, sort of preppy, waspy boy, and immediately we looked at each other, and it was this moment of like, it was very crowded, so we weren't anywhere near each other and couldn't really talk, mm-hmm. but it was definitely this moment of like, in a different situation, we would be fucking.
Really?
Yeah. It was very fun. It was just a flirtation, which was really nice, and I kind of needed it because I was feeling sad because my friend's dad passed and my show closed all in the same day, basically.
Yeah.
And so I needed a little pick-me-up, and it was flirting with some guy. Is that
now, are you
so
speaking?
Cheap, Michelle?
Are you speaking when you're flirting, or do you all just look at each other?
This was not, because it was a crowded bus and we were like six people away from each other, but it was that thing where gay men look at each other and know like, sure, okay.
I don't know what this is. I want to be a gay man for like 1 week.
I don't know
to understand
I guess I don't know
what
how
this
explain
is.
It. I mean, I guess this part of it is.
I mean,
like,
I met Kelly. We smoked a cigarette. She came home. She's never left. So I understand that. But yeah. I'm still with her.
I was going to say, because
you know, I'm still with her for 4 years.
It's true. That's the difference between you and a gay man. It's like, I think that you do have the sort of sexual predator energy that like gay men have, but you're also a lesbian, so you nest.
I do. God, I would love to be a sexual predator. Yeah. That would be fun.
I think all men are capable of being sexual predators.
For 1 week.
And I don't mean that I don't mean sexual predators like preying on.
No, but yes.
You know what I'm saying?
No, but yes.
I don't mean on somebody innocent. I don't mean like children.
No.
I mean that way in which we're just constantly on the hunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the hunt.
I like the hunt, too.
I like the flirt, and I like the hunt.
I'd like to be hunted every once in a while.
I like to be hunted. I don't feel like I've ever been hunted, but I've been told that's
I rarely
wrong
get hunted.
And that I'm just a dodo and don't know when I'm getting hunted.
People tell me that, too.
But I don't think I ever get hunted.
I will only, like in a romantic way, the only way I'll ever approach somebody, actually not even in a sexual way, is if I know they already like me. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so cowardly?
Mm.
It's cowardly, but like I'm unbelievably
That's
confident.
That's kind of a guarantee.
It is, but I'm unbelievably confident at that point and can really sort of ease the situation and be very fluid and stuff. But until then, I'll stand on the other side of the room. Mm. Like there was somebody at your party, I won't say who it is, but there was somebody at your party that I thought was really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, I couldn't even have a conversation. Although he also didn't give me the time of day when I tried in a little bit, but mm-hmm. Not in an unpleasant way, but
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I think I know who you're talking about.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
we're talking about being evasive.
Yeah, we are being evasive, but that's okay. Well, Richard Knight Jr. is not going to be evasive. We've heard your review of Benjamin Button.
I'm so curious to see what he thinks.
Let's see what Richard Knight Jr. thinks. Plus, we're going to tell you what's going on in the world of theater this week. And the show, one of the shows that we're promoting, the show that we're promoting is a show you should not miss in my book for the theater. So all that. And Mitchell and I'll be back on the cool. couch.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Who would have thought that David Fincher, with his overtly sour film resume, would make what, on first look, seems such a strangely sweet movie as The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, his third collaboration with Brad Pitt, who co-stars along with Cate Blanchett. That's exactly what he's done, though. Based on the sliver-thin but tantalizing conceit by F. Scott Fitzgerald, the story follows the title character who is born old at the end of the First World War and then grows younger as the years advance, and his on-again, off-again romance with a red-haired Daisy, a free-spirited dancer. Pitt and Cate Blanchett play the two lovebirds whose romance blooms in the middle when their ages and superb physical specimens finally match up. But the romance is doomed because as Daisy ages, Benjamin continues getting younger until he is glimpsed as a young boy beset with Alzheimer's and old age maladies, and finally as a baby lying in Blanchett's withered arms. It's not quite explained how Benjamin physically shrinks, however. Also not explained is why the other characters are so drawn to the emotionally withdrawn Benjamin, who, until his affair with Daisy takes hold, seems only to exist by drawing on the life forces of the other characters. Everyone seems to leave more than they take from Benjamin the Black Hole, who never reacts much to anything beyond a cautious smile. The film finally comes to life when we see Pitt astride his Harley, a latter-day golden-haired Brando, as the women and gay men in the audience swoon and everyone looks on in envy at such physical beauty and the confidence it projects. Overall, the film seems more like a beautiful curio than anything else, a sort of artsy-fartsy Forrest Gump, with the love affair played out against the great events of the 20th century. Also like Gump, many of Pitt's voiceovers begin to sound like parody a second time around. But there is something undeniably cool and weird and oddly compelling here. It's a movie that goths will surely adore. And whatever it is swept me away, at least the first time I saw the film. Second time, not so much. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Jersey Boys, Chicago's smash hit, has put a whole new block of tickets on sale now and into the new year. So book your seats today, either for yourself or as a great holiday gift. Because there's no better way to say 'tis the season than with the seasons.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, now on sale through January 11th. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
In your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 5th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenberg, formerly of TV Sisters. It's playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Turn the music up in here. I still hear her loud and clear. Like she's right there in my ear. Telling me
first week of shows here in kind of the new year. It's crazy. And we've got the big Gays Got Talent this weekend.
I'm excited about
it. We have so many different types of talent coming out, and I hope that everybody will come out.
Does anybody blow a ping pong ball out their vagina?
No.
Oh.
I don't think that's ever happened at Sidetrack, nor ever will.
Shit.
I think Art, Peppy, and Chuck would really
That's the only reason why I leave
really
the house anymore.
Yeah. No, that's not happening, okay. But you're going to leave the house because I got to get you okay. and Steven Rader in the same room. And we will have special performances. So it's this Saturday at Sidetrack, and it's in the afternoon. Well, the doors open at 3 when the doors open, mm-hmm. and we start at 5 o'clock, so it's an early evening, couple hours show. I guarantee you, I am claiming this is the gay variety show that Rosie Live wished it was.
Wished it was.
Because we are going to have great contestants who are all vying for this part, and our contestants are very ethnically diverse.
Sweet.
Very diverse in we have drag kings and queens, we have comedians, we have magician. We have a clarinetist.
Wow.
We have a ukulele player. We have singer-songwriters. We have, we don't have any dancers nor strippers.
Well, where the hell are they going to dance?
Well, we're going to build a stage at the...
I know, but the... Yeah, it'd be hard to
it's
really...
It's not a big space.
It's not a big space. It'd be hard to dance,
yeah. And we've got... I feel like I'm forgetting. We have a poet. Slam poet.
Wow.
We have a woman who is kind of a poet slash interpreter slash movement person. I don't even know how to call her. What she's so beautiful. She moved
Do
me
to Do I have
tears.
To wear a tuxedo?
No.
Can I wear whatever I want?
Casual fun. And Deb Pierce will be in town too. So if you ever want the opportunity, listeners, to see Mitchell, Amy, myself, Steven Rader and Deb Pierce, as well as our editor, Di, all in the same room. We will all be there. So if a bomb goes off at Sidetrack, we have just, the Queercast is no more.
No, don't
Alexandra Billings is holding it on her
own.
Yeah,
don't bring that. Don't even bring that into reality.
Okay, I won't bring that. I know, but that's kind of funny to think.
It is.
It's like, there goes all the talented Queercasting gays.
I have to say, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we're going to have special performances by Steven Rader and the lovely Angelique Monroe. We'll be doing
a
very special tribute. Yes, Steven's going to sing. And Angelique Monroe is doing a very special tribute to, I won't say who, but somebody who is a recent fallen icon. That's all I can say.
All right.
And we are also going to have Burley-esque, because I can't call it boy-esque. Todd from Sidetrack is going to be doing boy burlesque.
Really?
So it is going to be a fun night.
I know, Todd. We did a show together a long time ago.
It's going to be some fun talents within the community. Deb Pierce and I both co-hosting, and it's just going to be fabulous. Plus, we're giving away a trip to Toronto for two people. Somebody's going to win a trip to Toronto
officially, it's really for one person because you have to take me.
So
whoever
wins
takes Mitchell.
Because it's whoever you're going to have that
look. Because I'm fun!
Whoever you had that little look with.
Yes, exactly.
So there was something really quick I wanted to talk about that you and I mentioned on New Year's Day, which was that I was obsessed. I don't know if anybody else has watched this, but probably not, except maybe a few lesbians. The gay men are all going to want to shut off this podcast.
Not
but
me.
Mitchell's commenting is going to be funny, I am sure. We've yet to talk about this.
I don't know if it's been funny or just brilliant.
But I watched the Golf Channel for some reason when I was home in Tennessee, which I've never watched a Golf Channel ever in my life. I do play golf about 3 times a year, and that's it now. I'm totally a tennis girl now. But I was watching this golf reality show where like 15 or some odd women were all vying for a spot on the LPGA tour. That's the women's PGA tour. And it was a contest. It was like a reality contest. So it was kind of Survivor meets, I don't know, American Idol or having to do something. There were no voting. I mean, there were skills, obviously. Uh-huh. You're playing golf, but there were strategic things. It wasn't like normal
Get
golf.
To the ladies.
Anyhow, the ladies were so motherfucking hot. They look like sorority chicks. I was like, where are these ladies on the LPGA? And it was like 14 hot m'ladies and one bull dyke. I was like, she was the only one that when they showed them.
She would have been my type.
The opening credits were like them all walking in a straight line over this like golf hill. And they were all like thin, except for this one square, squatty bull dyke. She got third.
She did?
Yeah.
Did you just call her squatty?
She was squatty. She was just kind of like, you know, she's just a strong earth mama golfer.
Listen,
she's what I see on the golf courses.
You're preaching to the
choir.
And
I love her. She was good. She was out there.
So this is my response to it. You said it, and I get excited because when I was a kid, I used to hear about the Dinah Shore, and there was always this sort of hushed implication about it that as a kid I didn't get.
Yeah.
But then I knew it had something to do with the fact that they were all women. And that there was something, just something titillating about it to people, or it sparked some, and of course it was the whole idea, you know, this is the whole idea that's all lesbians and stuff like that. But as a kid, I didn't get the whole implication of it. I just knew that there was something.
Had you heard about the Dinah as a kid?
Yeah. I don't know why.
You are a failed lesbian, Mitchell Fain. I am a failed gay man. I should be hooking up with guys
exactly.
on the bus.
And I should
you
be nesting.
Playing golf and nesting at the Dinah.
So
we could do both at the same location.
Ever since I was a kid, I have this weird, like, sexual tinge about female golfers.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you mentioned it the other day, I was about the, like, the lady golfers, and they were all, like, hotties, and I was like, I get it. Because I have always sort of secretly tuned into golf, but only when women are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a thing about, like, I have a sexual thing.
About butchy women golfers?
And please don't write in and say I'm sexualizing
Oh, please
women,
sexualize
whatever,
lesbians. Whatever. I would love that.
But I
that
am.
That would make our show so
I,
queer, it can't even possibly be queer.
Especially for a gay man, I just have a little, I have a little thing, where, and it has to do with my childhood. It's a little bit like when you're a little boy. And in like fourth or fifth grade, all the girls get to go out of the room for some class that we're not allowed to go to. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with like, you know, periods and stuff like that.
Tampons. Wearing a maxi pad.
Are you there? God, it's me, Margaret, was like a thing. And like, it's not that boys couldn't read it, but it was like, it was sort of not our thing. But there was, it was tinged with something mysterious and had something to do with sex or sexuality. And so golf, to me,
he's equated with that.
Lady golf was equated.
Lady golf.
Has that quality to me as a kid. So now I literally...
Do you have a favorite golfer?
I don't have a favorite golfer because I don't watch that much. I don't pay attention really to like the game. It's just I like the way their legs look. I like the way that...
The ones that look like tree trunks or the ones that are like...
No, I like them slim and sorority girlish.
Yeah.
Although if there's a really dykey one, somebody has the balls to just be like dyked up.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Oh my God. This show is so your show. I'm going to find it and I'm going to TiVo.
Oh my God.
You.
I love it. It's a little bit like porn to me.
It was like porn to me. I'm like sitting there and my father's like, Amy, you watch this on the Golf Channel. It's on all the time. It's on 24 hours on a marathon. I was like, Dad, really? I don't even know if I have the Golf Channel. He's like, sure, you got the Golf Channel. You got to have the Golf Channel. And I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, good God, these women are really pretty. And my father was like, yeah, this is kind of fun to watch, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, go on to bed. I'm going to watch this for the next 3 hours. It's like, that's me and my dad over the holidays having a holiday moment that Hallmark never, you know, showed us.
Give him time.
Yes,
give him time. You know that, not sort of a transition, you know that I filmed the first ever gay Hallmark card and then they didn't have the Hallmark card commercial and they didn't have the balls to run it.
Ah. Did you get paid?
I did get paid.
Good.
Yeah, I got paid quite a bit.
Good.
But,
was that a long time ago?
A couple of years ago. I was still in with Alex Krizan. So they had to pay me as if they had left me in as the principal, which they didn't. Mm-hmm. They cut it so then it looked like I wasn't really a principal, but I was. And but because they had my contract was as a principal.
Then you were a principal.
Yeah, then they had to pay me for it. But they didn't have the balls to run it. But anyway...
Well, I look for this on the Golf Channel. Yeah. It's probably going to come back around. They'll have another round. It's like something like the big Kahuna or the big Kakainai or something. It's something from an island or a resort in Hawaii. So a hot women Hawaii golf course, and they're winning a BMW Roadster.
I've asked my sister what she thinks about golfers. I've never asked my sister because my sister.
I've never been into golfers until I saw 16 of these, like, golfers that were hired for a television show, reality show.
My sister likes the butchies. My sister likes the butchy
girls. She would have liked the third place winner.
Yeah. Especially if she's, like, Puerto Rican or Dominican or
But the woman who won it was very hot.
Really?
Yeah.
See?
And could drive it 320 yards.
Stop it, Amy. Stop it. I'm blushing.
She was tall and had her own fashion sense. Little scarf. She wore her scarf, like, flat over her head and dark. Yeah. It was hot.
It's hot.
Wow. Okay. I'm moist now.
I know just about that. I know I'm erect.
I've got to go.
Amy, I'm going to go screw. And good night.
And good night. Oh, well, Deb Pierce will be on the next Queercast with me. She'll be sitting on the couch. It's going to be cool to have our Toronto girl, eh?
right here on the couch. Here.
Awesome.
So hopefully we'll see you at Gay's Got Talent. If you're a listener, come up and say hi and introduce yourself and meet us. Mitchell will be judging, and
yes, I will.
Steven will be performing, and Deb and I will be on the stage. And
who else is judging?
Kelly will be out of town. You and Miss Sophia Sapphire and Kirk Williamson.
Oh, sweet.
It's going to be a good group.
Where's Kelly going?
She's in Arizona.
Oh.
She always misses these big things that I do.
Because I'm going to Arizona the week after.
Yeah, see your friend in Godspell.
And my family.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right, well, you'll be in Arizona. Deb will be on my couch.
Sweet.
It's just always somebody. It's a rotating couch.
It is rotating couch.
Too bad I'm not casting something.
I know.
And I'd be getting off, too. That would be fun.
Grab your golf clubs, ladies.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.